And I've put after that, I guess if I've asked that question, you're probably thinking, what does he mean by real joy? My wife's not here this morning. She's looking after Devon and making sure nothing touches him. He doesn't get touched because Devon's quite vulnerable. So we've just got to be careful. So I can ask as many questions as I want. That's quite hard for you, isn't it? She tells me off for asking too many questions, but I often think it keeps your mind active. If I ask you questions, it makes you involved. So here's your starter for 10. What is joy? Who's saying the peace of the Lord? That's Irene. Say again. Strength of the Lord is our joy. Quoting the scripture at me there, yeah?
An attitude.
There's no sort of right or wrong answers. I'm just trying to get... Because sometimes we have different perceptions, concepts of what we mean by certain phrases and words. So when somebody says, you know, have you got joy? You might take it a different way. Here's the dictionary definition of joy. The emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Keen pleasure, elation. So, some of my accusers are not here this week, but I had great joy last week when I stood in the Stretford End and watched the winning goal when United beat City. 2 minutes from time, Andrew, when Scott McTominay scored right at the end where I was stood with my son. I had great joy. City beat United. Or was it the fact that when my first son, John Mark, was born, I was overjoyed? Scripture says sons are a blessing from the Lord. Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Blessed are the man whose quiver is full of them. I've got three, so I'm doing okay. Children are a blessing, aren't they? Sometimes we need to remember what I guess we would call the simple things in life, the things God has given us. I'm aware this morning as I speak, my son's in Madrid, which is on lockdown. Spain's on lockdown, particularly Madrid. So I'm very aware of my children. But was I overjoyed when my son was born? Or perhaps on the day when my wife spilled ink on the table all over there, but she said, I do. Sue, who's at home now? Poor old Mark had a good job. That was a good learning curve for you, Mark. We helped you out there to learn how the registry worked. Sue spilt the ink and spoilt the pages. Or maybe when I celebrated my first degree with my cap and gown on, was I joyful? Was I full of joy? Maybe. I've been thinking of this verse for a number of weeks. Isaiah chapter 12 is where my verse is coming from. And as soon as it comes up, you'll probably see. I've got nothing on here. Isaiah 12. In that day you will say, I will praise you, Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you've comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. In that day, you will say, give praise to the Lord. Proclaim his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. It's a great chapter. Obviously, you'll probably have picked up, if you look at that, the verse I'm going to focus on is verse 3. With joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation. What does that mean? We'll have a look. Isaiah is considered one of the, what they call, major prophets. I don't know if any of you are familiar with that term. They've split the prophets up into two sets, major and minor. The minor prophets in the Old Testament consist of 12 books. I'm sure you know, but we'll ask, anyone know what the difference is between the major and the minor prophets? A lot of. Yeah, major prophets, basically, the length of the books. They're called major because the work is longer. So you've got Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, are considered the major prophets. Isaiah's got 66 chapters, of which chapter 12 is the shortest. It's only got 6 verses. I was thinking, Wendy, it's a good job you're not here, we'd go through all 66 chapters and you could sign them. That'd be good for you, wouldn't it? But the major prophet, simply because the length of the book. Here is what they call songs of praise. Isaiah's, in a sense, prophetically looking forward to what God's going to do. First thing I want to say about real joy, it's important to link our joy with its giver. The joy of the Lord. Not joy at me watching the football match, the joy of Manchester United giving me something. Not even my family, unless I understand God has given it me. We've got to link our joy with the one who gives it. It's important. The passage clearly links joy to salvation. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. There's a link between joy and salvation. We'll talk about that a little bit more later. Real joy, I believe, is something that sits deep in our heart and it's constant, doesn't move. Sometimes we can have fleeting joy, can't we? We're elated one minute and we're down the next minute. It's all going well, we're up and we're down. And notice the dictionary definition seems to fix joy related to events or things. It's quite easy in some ways to fix our joy to material things. Well, maybe I've had a windfall of money, that'll give me joy. Things are going swimmingly. And if we're not careful, we're looking at the circumstances that dictate our joy. But actually, Scripture says it's something deeper than that. Our joy shouldn't be based on events outside. If it is, you'll end up disappointed. Even as we've had testimony this morning from Zoff, and most of us looking at stuff related to the virus, we're not exempt from stuff that impacts us in the world, are we? Scripture never promised that. It says you're in the world, but you're not of it. You've heard me say it often, but when people say, I get told off for this, people say, I'm only human, I say, I'm not. I'm supernatural. I'm born of the Spirit. If I'm only human, I'm still in my sin, and I don't want to be there, thank you. I'm supernatural. We are, according to the Bible, saints. You might not think that some days, but that's... I choose to believe what he says, not what I feel. That's where our faith should be in what the Word says. We can all quote different verses about joy, and Ray, where's he gone? Thank you, a lot of the songs had joy in them. Well done. Some of the scriptures. The joy of the Lord is my... Anyone know where that is? It's in the Bible, isn't it? Nehemiah 8:10, I think it is. The joy of the Lord is my strength. What about this for a scripture? I always find this one exciting. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. Wow. The angels have a big party every time somebody puts their hand up and make a decision for God. Was it a couple of weeks ago we had Barry Woodward here, about 30 people? Imagine that, what party was going on in heaven there? So never discount the small things. Oh, you know, it's only one person came to the Lord. I tell you what, thank God for the day I did. If it's only me, wow. There is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents. This was in the song, I think. Weeping may remain for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Some of the... Yeah, I'm looking at Sarah and Sue sat over there. The children have been learning. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Galatians 5, is it round about 22? Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Can I say, and hold on to your chairs, If you haven't got joy in your life, perhaps you're not expressing the fruit of the Spirit. It's not just about gifts, it's about character. We should be balanced, shouldn't we? I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, I believe they're for today. But I believe in the fruit of the Spirit as well. Deep down, when stuff hits you, the Holy Spirit has given us joy. I think the song said, "Joy comes in the morning," was the line. But we need to know something more than the odd verse here and there. Our joy is linked to an event of which we had no control over, the cross. Paul says, in a sense, I'll paraphrase, "I never get tired of talking about the cross." Because it's our shining light. It's the hope of mankind. Our joy is linked to what happened on that day and what happens because of it. Without it, we're without hope. So it says, "With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation." Our joy is linked to the giver, who's the one who died on the cross. God himself in flesh. What is it the old hymn writer says? Oh, stuff comes to my mind when I'm up here, so you'll have to forgive me. "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin." What is it? "He only could unlock the gate and let us in," or something like that it says. There's nobody else but God. If God hasn't come down to meet with us, we're still in our sin. I'm quite happy with John 1:14. "The Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us." God himself in flesh. God came down. Because he was the only one good enough to pay the price. Second thing to say, this may help you, hopefully it does. Joy has many different expressions. Don't know if you've ever been at a party or been somewhere where something's happening and somebody says, "He doesn't look very happy, does he? He's not full of joy." But actually, the way we express it is different. I just recently had a new computer put together. And when I was on it, Windows did whatever it did and lost half my notes, which was great. I spent 2 hours doing that. So I haven't got everything I put down. But when I looked at joy, I've got a concordance that I use. It gives me what the words are. There are about 20 different words for joy in the Bible. Old and New Testament. It means, here's some of the meanings for you. Gladness. Rejoicing. Shouting. Wow. Lisa, were you having joy this morning when you said, "Let's give the Lord a shout"? Good. Shouting, singing. Though some would say listening to me is not joyful. Never mind nodding your head there, Ray. Leaping. Wow. You immediately reminded the man at the gate, beautiful, aren't you? Leaping and dancing and praising God. Full of joy. Goodness. What about this one? Where's Audrey? Mirth. I have a bit of a joke with her. I say, "You're not allowed to laugh in church." She tries very hard, but she doesn't win. I can see her laughing and smiling. But joy is about mirth and happiness. I've said it before. The guy who started the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship? Well done, Irene, I can't pronounce his name. Wrote a book called "The Happiest People on Earth." Should be us. We're saved. Some of our friends are not. We've got salvation. We should be full of joy. Say, "But you don't know my circumstances." No. Don't take this wrong. I don't care. Joy's deeper than that. It isn't about our circumstances. It's about what God has done for us. Therefore, we should be joyful. Mirth, to shine. Wow. Moses came down the mountain and his face was shining. He was probably full of joy. He'd met with the Lord. That'd be a good experience, wouldn't it? That'd be all right. 40 days and 40 nights meeting with God. You'd shine after that, wouldn't you? I would hope you would anyway. I'm looking at my notes because it's proclamation. There's great, I haven't put the reference here, but I think it's Ecclesiastes. There's a great one that joy means to see life. Wow. So when we say joy, because we're English, we haven't really got big expression. The Hebrew's got about 14, 15 different ones. Greek's got about 6. In the verse we're looking at, it means joy, rejoicing, or gladness. Masos in the Hebrew, if you want the Hebrew. Currently, we are bombarded about the coronavirus, aren't we? Quite rightly, we need to know where we're at. It's probably difficult to muster joy amidst fear and safety concerns. But ultimately, and I won't spend a long time on this, ultimately, my time is in His hands. That's what I believe. And we were talking about it as leaders, and it's a phrase I often use. I said, I am of Wesley. What does that mean? The story of John Wesley is that he once was driving a carriage and the horse bolted. He threw the reins down and said, I am immortal till my work is done. When God calls time, that's when it'll be. So, as Lisa has said, we shouldn't be full of fear. According to the scripture, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Love, joy, peace, and a sound mind. So, if you want me to back that up for you, if there is fear, where's it coming from? It's not coming from God. It's not coming from God. Scripture says quite plainly, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to steal your joy. And sometimes he's successful when we let him in. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that to the full or abundantly. What does the song say, Ray? We were made to thrive. We're not just made to be ordinary people. We're made to thrive. There's a great scripture. I think it's in Ecclesiastes. You'll have to look it up. It's there somewhere. It says, it's one of my favorite verses, God has set eternity within the hearts of men. Wow. There's a longing within our hearts to reach God. So sometimes when we're talking to our friends or family, within them there's a spark of eternity. They don't quite know it sometimes, and many of us didn't till the Spirit drew us. It's not preaching that saves people, it's the Spirit who draws people. Preaching's a means, but it's the Spirit who does the work. So be practical. It's what Lisa said about the virus. Do all you can. I've been given instructions by my wife before I came here. Don't hug anyone. Don't kiss anyone. Don't shake hands. Don't come back and give Devon any germs. So, yes, 3 bags full. But she's right. Joy has got something to do that is deep within us that does not rely on circumstances or feelings. Some facts I've got here, just the way my mind works. It may be somebody like Andy might be interested in this. I don't know, Mark watches programs. Any of you interested in the oceans and the sea? Okay, where's the deepest part of the ocean? Where's that coming from? Steve? Marianas Trench. Okay, and the deepest part of that is called something else, isn't it? Which I can't find on my notes here. Something deep, it's called Challenger Deep. Challenger Deep is the deepest part. That's in the Pacific Ocean. You're all sat there going, where's he going with this? Listen, this is interesting. The deepest part of the Pacific Ocean is known as the Mariana Trench. If you want to write this down, it 1,580 miles in length, 43 miles wide, with a depth of around 7 miles. Pretty deep, isn't it? According to scientists, the oceans cover over 70% of our planet. As yet, 80% is yet unexplored. 80%. Probably goes nearer to 90% when they're talking about the ocean bed. If any of you are up on your history, the guy who directed Titanic, James Cameron, spent 7 years building a submarine to explore this trench. 7 years. Took him 2 hours, 36 minutes to descend to the bottom. Say, what's all this about? That's just the natural phenomena about how deep and how unexplored. What about within us, the joy the Lord has put in there? How deep is that? Inexhaustible. We quote that scripture, don't we? He can do more than you can possibly imagine or think. Within us, there's a resource of joy you can draw on when stuff gets difficult. Doesn't mean we don't understand what's going on. I'm not saying don't do anything about the virus. Galatians 4, it might be verse 4, can't remember. It says, Abram faced the fact his body was as good as dead. So God said to Abram and to Sarah, you know, you're going to have a child. And Sarah said, you're having a laugh, aren't you? Especially what the scripture says, she laughed. And Abram said, what, me? At my age? He faced the fact his body was as good as dead, but it says he did not waver in his unbelief. Face the facts, but understand there's something bigger at work. We'll get to that. Face the facts, but don't run away from them. It's there. Don't stick your head in the sand and say, there isn't any virus, I'm okay. No, there is. But have joy in your faith. 1 Peter 1:8, have you got that one, Mark? This is an interesting scripture. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And the AV version, some of you will remember this one better. Whom having not seen, you love, in whom, though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. We were singing that in the song Thrive. Joy unspeakable. What does it mean? Some of you will have guessed by the now. I've been here long enough. I'm fascinated by words. Words fascinate me. So maybe I had to look at, what does this mean, that word unspeakable? I found an interesting fact. It's the only time in the entire New Testament that word occurs. Once. There in 1 Peter 1:8. So it's very difficult, in a sense, to get an angle on it. Joy unspeakable, faith unsinkable, love unstoppable, anything is possible. It means unable to fully describe or report. Within us, we're unable to fully describe what's going on. God's given us joy. Sometimes we can't even vocalize or verbalize, but it's there. It's a bit, I've quoted it before, but I always love it. It's a live concert with a guy called Barry Maguire, who used to sing with, Christy Minstrels he sang with. He sang a song called Eve of Destruction. I'm going back in time. But they said to him, are you a believer? And he said, no, I'm not a believer. I'm a knower. I know. I know I've been born again. And with that bit that says, I know, I feel it in my bones. I'll be into trolls in a minute. I've got this feeling in my bones. Devon's looking forward to that. The second one's on in a bit. Unable to communicate or convey adequately by words. God has put something in us that is bigger than our vocab can describe. That's why Peter said joy unspeakable. We used to sing an old song with the same idea, didn't we? I've got the joy, 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 joy. Down in my heart. Where? That's how it goes. Very old. Written in 1925 by a guy from Yorkshire. Good Yorkshire man. Wrote that one. It says, down in my heart to stay. Yes. It's permanent. Doesn't glide with every passing thing. I won't sing that again, but have you got it? Joy. Last. Conscious of time. It's a joy not just for this life. This is why it's important. This is why it's linked to salvation. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. I hope you realize, but if you don't, I'm going to underline it. We're not just saved for this world. There's more to come. We don't talk about it often, but the scripture is very clear. Jesus is coming again. And we're all going to be raised up to be with him. Those that love the Lord will be with him. So it's not just about this life. John 4:13. Jesus answered, he's talking to the woman at the well, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." He gave the Samaritan woman a drink and she was overawed. "This shouldn't happen. I'm from Samaria. You don't mix with us. I'm a woman. You're a man. This shouldn't be happening." And he said, "It's bigger than that. This water I give will spring up to eternal life." The chorus of fame says, "I'm going to live forever." I am. Actually, if you understand scripture properly, everybody is. Some to good and some to bad. That's eternal life. Imagine. The angels were having the party when one person got saved. We're going to be in a permanent party state with him, aren't we? I love that song that Ray sang at our wedding. "I can only imagine." You know, "Well, I fall down on my knees, won't be able to speak at all. I can only imagine." It's worth thinking about, though. One day, I'm going to be with him. Generally speaking, when water is used in the Bible, it's a metaphor that signifies life. So in our text, drawing water or life from the wells of salvation, our joy comes from a number of things. I was just thinking about this, what I've written down. Firstly, realizing our sins, which are many, have all been paid for. That should be a joyous thing, shouldn't it? There's nothing against you anymore. Your name, I've got a pen here. He's got his pen and said, he goes like this, "Gerard Francis Michael Kelly." Writes it in his book of life. I've got an entry in the book of life. I'm written in, my name will never be blotted out. Because I'm born of water, of blood, of the Spirit. We don't use the term much these days, but to be born again means it's a new life. Must be born again. Secondly, there's a thing at the moment, when we get communication from Assemblies of God, I'm going through training at the moment to get official status as a minister. It asks you a question, are you in good standing with Assemblies of God? I tell you what, I'm in good standing with God. That's what's important. The joy within me is because I'm in good standing with God, because I'm counted as righteous. Me? You're looking at me going, "You're kidding, aren't you?" That's what the book says. I'm counted as righteous. God looks at me. What's the old song used to say, Ray? When he looks at me, he sees not what I used to be. He sees Jesus. I am covered over with a robe of righteousness Jesus gives to me. Being aware that salvation opens the door to heaven. Not very popular these days talking about it, but it's in Scripture. Heaven and hell. One day, we are going to be with him in heaven. That's not just this life, is it? It's the next life. It's another life to come. I've got some thoughts for you at the end that might challenge you a little bit. The Bible talks about resurrection and new bodies. Time does not permit me to go there, perhaps for another day, but if you want to look at it, go and read 1 Corinthians 15. Paul says, "This mortal shall be swallowed up with immortality. This tent will be rolled up, but I tell you what, I'm getting a new body." He doesn't need the NHS or sample payments. I had a very strange phone call last night from an American lady. As I answered the phone, she said, "Hello, I want to get your views on the health service." I said, "What's it in connection with?" "We're having some research." She said, "How much do you pay for health insurance?" I said, "I'm in the UK." She said, "Yeah, I understand." I said, "Well, if you understand, you'd understand how the system works. We don't pay for healthcare. We pay it through our national insurance contributions, through our stamp. That's how it works. God's got a healthcare plan for all of us, and he's going to swap those bits of your body that don't work for new bits. You're going to get a new body. Pleased about that, Steve, aren't you? Those of us who've got ailments, the day's coming when death will be swallowed up and God will give us new bodies. That's what the book says. If you're not aware of it, I'm telling you what the Bible teaches. That's something we should have joy about. If sometimes you're a bit, I'm getting a bit older now. I just reached the point last week where I'm entitled to a pension. Way! But some mornings I creak when I get up. I'm getting a bit older. But the day's coming when that'll never happen again. No sickness, no crying. That's what the song used to say. Soon and very soon. Do you remember that one, Bob? We're going to see the King. No more crying there. I'm getting excited. With joy, look forward, get excited. One day we'll be with him. Right, my challenging bit to leave you with, because I like to challenge you. Here's some thoughts to leave with you. Some of you can note these down or come and talk to me. I'm sure there will be conversation about this. You might not agree with some of this, and that's okay. But I'll give you some scriptures, because I think the books can defend itself. It's a joy not just for this life. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Did you get that one? If we endure, we shall also reign with him. Wow. It's interesting, isn't it? Revelation 2:26 and 27. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the potter's vessel shall be broken to pieces, as also I have also have received from my Father. Power over the nations. Wow. Did you ever think you'd get to that point? I was thinking of putting my name forward for Prime Minister, but I think I'll leave it for another day. But according to the book, there's a chance we'll rule over nations. What about this one? 1 Corinthians 6, 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Whoa. So this life finishes and there's another life where actually I've got a chance to reign with him and make some decisions according to judgment. That's what the book says. So there should be some joy in your heart that says, hang on, there's something more for me yet. It's not over. It's not finished. Come and talk to me about them, I'm sure. I've put in my notes, we are not simply leaving earth to sit on clouds playing harps. Be good for me. I can't play an instrument, so that'll be really good. It's more. The Bible clearly says it's more. As my friend Eric at Nottingham used to say, we are in training for reigning. We are training for reigning. I'll finish with this. Hope you understand where I'm coming from, which is down there. Okay, you know what this is? Bible, the acronym. Basic instruction before leaving earth. Because one day we're going. He's coming, we're going, we're going to live and reign with him. Have you got real joy? Thank you for listening.
Mark, did you want to say something?